Romans chapter 3, please. The book of Romans and chapter 3. And we're breaking at verse 19. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now turn to a well-known text, John 3, please, and verse 16. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A final reference in Mark's Gospel, please, in chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Mark's Gospel. And we're going to read verse 36 of this chapter. Mark 8, 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's all we're going to read, and we trust God will continue to give us help to conclude the meeting upon these scriptures that we've read together. I will make them very simple for the youngest, I trust, in the meeting. What we've read about three particular things from these verses. We've read about the law of God, the law. We've read about the love of God, the love. And then we've read about the loss of a soul, the loss. So those are three simple words, and yet they're very important. The law, the love, and the loss. I want to look at the law of God because I believe it gives a background to what we want to say tonight. If you fail to understand, friend, that the law stands undiminished through the passage of time, nothing changes that law, the law of God. Men may change and men may change laws, which they do. But, friend, the law of God will ever stand intact, untarnished. It will remain absolutely the same as when it was given in Mount Sinai. The law of God, whether we look at the Ten Commandments or summed up by the Lord Jesus and the two, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and so forth, and thy neighbor as thyself. My friend, the law of God remains absolutely intact. It's the inflexible law of God. It doesn't change. Now, why we preach that? I know we never see it in gospel halls. It would be no harm, of course. I mean, it's the Word of God, but if written down the side of me here, my right-hand side, the Ten Commandments written, or it would do no harm. In fact, it might do good, because people would confront all the time with Ten Commandments, and they might ask themselves a question sometime along the way, have I kept those? Or have I broken any of those? Or what does it really mean, the Ten Commandments? Why are they there? Why does God write them? Why have we got them? Number one, friend, it's telling us divine authority. God's law. It's God's. Get a hold of it, friend. It's not our concocting. It's not man getting together with his genius mind and a number of people around a table and they make laws. No, friend, this is God's law from heaven. God gave this law. Certainly came to Moses. Moses inscribed it in stone. But friend, it remains the law that's inflexible with all divine authority. And that will never change. Never change. Not only that, friend, it's got its purpose. You know why the law is given? If you had that law up there and I went down them very carefully and slowly and quietly without raising my voice and you write down the whole 10. And after we'd gone down the whole 10, then challenge the audience and say, now please put up your hand. Who? In fact, if I went a little further and started to investigate each of the commandments, right down the whole line, and by the help of God, tried to relate what that really meant, each one, I wonder if any head would still be raised. Or I wonder if any head...
Says my heart with all I have broken them.
My friend, do you know what the Bible says? If you break one, guilty of all. The very fact that I could break one of those 10 is indicative, my friend, that I can break every one of them. I may not have. But God reads every heart, friend, and we have all come short of the glory of God. We have broken God's law. This is what it says. The purpose is that by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law, what it does, those 10 commandments, magnify to Albert Hall, I'm using myself here, magnify to Albert Hall the tremendous sin before God. Your friend, I think we could do well in gospel preaching to give people an understanding of the law of God. You know, I was only a little boy. I don't like the law. I don't like getting in touch with it. I like to keep away from it. I don't like running up against it. But I remember the boy that I never forget running up against the law. I tell you, I was caught red-handed. And I never forgot that because I tell you, it left an awakening impression upon my soul all my life. Now, I don't want to pack this meeting with a story, but I can't help but tell you, it might help some young people in the meeting to understand the awful authority and the awful purpose of the law, what it's really given for. It's telling us God's character of holiness. That is righteous. Those laws are in effect. They're undiminishing, they're unchanging, they're inflexible. And when we run up against them, we recognize we have broken, we have become transgressors. I was just a little lad running down from school, and out of the chimney, and we got a stone in our hand with another boy, and we thought we'd fire it to a lamppost and try to hit it. You know, little boys would do that. And of course, my friend Archie missed it, and I thought, well, here I was down to our head. You know, little Irish brother looked up like a stone. So the tell us anyway. And I remember firing, and I thought it was going to hit the pole, but it missed, hit the top of the wall with the tank to the other side. I ran for my life with my little friend, and I ran home, and through the day to the house, Mom said to me, you're all sweating. What are you doing now? I should have had it in the little room. Covering my tracks. That was all right.
That was all right. Well, I'm affected at that way. Never forget it. When that principal came into our room with the sergeant of the police force. Yes. Yes.
Strong looking. He looked 7 foot. He was only 6. But anyway, he was large looking, big man. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it.
And the both of them walk up. And then the teacher said, boys and girls, group shot. They did not have group shot.
That policeman was here as sergeant, as deputy, Sergeant Jusker. That was his name. Never forget it.
And I never forget that when the teacher said, he wants to know whose side of the stone is the great wonder of the God. Here I am now, I'm beginning to tremble in my soul.
I begin to say, you know what I kept saying to myself? Now, I want you to get a hold of it. You know what I kept saying to myself? He didn't do it, he didn't do it, he doesn't know.
I know if you get walking that car, it's just like this, you've been walking that long corridor, and that policeman standing there, the sergeant, and throwing his hand, and I can look and see if his eye was in touch with the law. Don't forget to look into my eye. I love Kansas. And he's not. Because if he ever sees that stone, that is it.
I was ready to say yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, but I said it, but I said yes. When I said yes.
Well, I really hope with you, but I'm only standing over. Never forget, I really hope with you. I was in touch with the law, it exposed me, it brought my sins to bear upon me. Can I finish that story home? When I went home, my mom didn't say to me, sorry, son, she's fine.
No, no, she said, up those stairs.
Do what I learned? Sin must be punished.
My mother had to scrape £7. That would be $35
then. If I got money, and I thought up the stairs, you know what? Don't have to tell another. What I learned? Sin must be punished.
Now this Bible, friend, that's a simple story, but this Bible is telling us that law has all authority. It exposes what we are. It shows that we are transgressors. It tells us, my friend, that sin must be punished. God will not put it under the carpet. God will not wink at it, friend. God will not say, well, I favor this one against another. God says, the wages of sin is death. Sin must be punished. Now you get a hold of that, friend. And that law of God, that's given with all authority, and that law whose purpose is to tell us how far short we've come, is the same law that tells us it cannot pay the price for us. Can it eliminate the sin? Can it cancel the sin? Can it pay for the sin? What the law cannot or could not do, friend. That law is just given as a sentinel, as God's standard, and it's telling us, you've all come short of transgression, you've broken it, and it demands death. Just sin must be done. Did you ever get a hold of that, friend? Did that ever dawn upon you? I hope that's simple enough for you to take in, friend. This law, God's law, condemns us, exposes us, reveals what we are, and yet it's unable to do a thing for us. Just stand condemned. You know, I often thought that day, wouldn't it have been nice, as I walked up that corridor, wouldn't it have been nice even that day I walked up into that little bedroom, and my mother behind me, wouldn't it have been nice if my brother, bigger brother, had said, Albert, look, just step back out. No. Friend, no, nothing like that.
But wouldn't it be nice for someone just to step into my seat?
But there was no one. That law, friend, I hope you get a hold of it. That law condemns. That law's inflexible. God's law condemns. It's inflexible. It exposes. It tells us what we are. Learn it tonight. It can't save you. It can only condemn.
It can't deliver you. It only passes judgment upon you.
So someone, if that's the way it is, how am I ever going to get right with God? By the deeds of the flesh shall no flesh be justified. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight. There's no way that law can justify me. I can't try to keep it. You know, there's a lot of people in our world, and probably in Vancouver, maybe some in this meeting, and you'll even try after a meeting like this. You'll try, I'm going to do better. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to do this or going to do that.
I'm going to make myself right with God, Greg. That's in the work of the New Testament. Our world.
I want to get to this, the love of God. I'm glad of this text. It's golden. It's precious. It has all the hues of the rainbow in it. Thank God for its sweetness, its grandness, its greatness, unparalleled, unrivaled. Would that I had burning lips to tell it. Would that I had a brimming heart, my friend, just to quote this text. For God so loved the world. Could I put it this way, following on my little train of thought? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world of those who have been exposed by God's law as guilty. For all the world has become guilty before God. Could, my friend, you get a hold of this? That God in heaven against whom you have sinned, you have broken His laws. God's judgment and sentence is upon you. That same God comes out in all, my friend, the totality of His heart. God so loved the world. You know, friend, it's an amazing thing. Most people in this meeting could quote this text. And if you can't quote it, I hope you'll be able to quote it before I finish.
I've been in San Diego and I've got to believe a hard place to visit. I'm used in the eastern part of Canada to build the houses and open doors and sit there and talk to people.
But boy, in San Diego, every door was shut and barred up, and beware of dogs and beware of everything else. There it was, you couldn't get anywhere. So what I did,
I took a little change in my pocket. Yeah, a little smooth spot.
And I walked down the street and I found children coming from school. And I had a little band of children around me, two or three guests. And as I gathered them around, I said, look, boys, look, I want to ask you a question. You see this? I'll wrap this here. And of course, you get the ring and you're right, I
said, look, if you can quote me John 3:16 again, you're talking San Diego, 72 children now. I think it's time for all of us to come around these doors, which a lot of people don't want.
For God so loved the world. One little fellow said,
sir, I said, don't you know what I said? I said, look, if you can quote me anything from the Bible, I'll give it. I shouldn't even say it, but this is what he said. Trust me, not trust. I said,
ah, you might smile at that, but that's all the little fellow knew had heard of his own funeral.
Very nice style. My God.
And I thought of this text that I was brought up, knew to lisp it as a little child in my mother's knee, friend, for God so loved the world
that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yet people all around, probably next door, or down the street, friend, or a fellow traveler that we meet from time to time,
absolutely as dark as to the beauty or as to knowing the text. Golden, beautiful, wonderful, revealing the heart of God, friend, in its depths.
I get excited in John 3:16. No greater text ever. I preached with a number of people on this year. But I
wonderful of you tonight understood that this text is telling you the answer for your sin. The answer how you can meet God and know that you have everlasting life.
How you can be sure when it comes to the end of life, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. and two very touching ones. A little boy, but only 8 years of age, so coming down this cold street trying to get feet. Bare feet, tattered. This was just after World War I, this little boy was doing that. Things were hard. Not much on the table. Not much to eat.
He was walking down the street in the evening,
looking for something, looking for a cross, looking for something. He passed a little building. He felt the heat coming up. He thought, I'm wrong. The 8-year-old opened the door and walked in, and he saw a little stove in the middle of that building. He called them hot deli stoves, but I don't know, you wouldn't have them here. Those old type of stoves in the center of a little hall.
And around that stove was a whole lot of men sitting, and women were sitting, and Bibles were open.
And a little fellow walked in, he never even paid attention. He went over to that, and he put his little bare feet up to try to get something.
Big Irish man went over beside him,
and he blew it all around, and he sucked his hands to see that. And he said, you just be quiet at the end of the meeting. He said, I want to let it happen.
He sat right beside him. You know, it's a great thing. Soul winning is a wonderful thing.
Not on the platform. I hope you get near the people and the lone tree tells them.
Hope we can touch them.
And after the meeting, everyone went out, and the big man said to them, did you have a Bible in your home? He said, no, I don't have a Bible. Did you ever hear John 3:16 or ever heard John 3:16? What is it?
He said, before you leave this world, I'm going to teach you John 3:16.
And he taught out of the 8-year-old John 3:16. And I said, you come back next Sunday to the Sunday school. And he said, I have a Bible book. He said, you keep coming. And that little boy kept coming. Went to the war. Went through Sunday school, left at 14, went to the war, overseas, gone from, back again later.
And he met a friend of his down the street. And the friend said to him,
Albert, his name is Albert. He said, Albert, he says, God saved me since we last met in the Bible. When we're fighting our journey, he said, I've got God's salvation. I've told you to ask for me, and would you come along? Nothing else to do.
He went to the meeting. The man took John 3:16 as a text.
That was guided by God.
And he preached John 3:16 from the depth of his heart.
And as that man offered heavily listened, what happened to my friend? God! Smoke on. God shook him. But I like the rest of the story. Paul Harden, the rest of the story.
Years later, unknown to that man that taught him that text, at 8 years
of age, that man brought his deputies in a meeting away down his country. That man gets up, that old man he didn't know. Years had passed, and this man gets up after to speak a little word, and he said, so could send all waters. Give him the name, the brethren and other encouragement, get out of his soup. He said, I have often wondered, I should see that a little fellow 8 years of age, coming from a cold night to want to speak to a fire, hungry and tired, tired and cold. He said, I taught him that, he went through the Sunday school. He said, I've often thought to myself, I'm even in heaven, something makes me feel that that boy will get God to me. After that man was dead, this man there, he gets up, walks across, and looks at an old gray haired man. But the God of that, he says, sir, I was that boy. I was that boy.
Tell your friend John 3:16, no greater text ever has been. If you miss Christ, friend, and you miss heaven, I will tell you, friend, there's no greater remorse
for soul. Believer for eternal judgment, with John 3:16 ringing in their ears, knowing the gospel.
My friend, God's telling you,
beaming upon your soul tonight in all its absolute clarity and plainness. God loves the sinner.
It's your sin.
He bore his only begotten Son. What a marvelous, benevolent God we have that emptied heaven of its best and down to this world came the Lord Jesus, God's blessed, beloved, unique Son, and a Calvary friend. Oh, we've been hearing about it. Would that we could touch it again, friend, a dark Calvary yonder between two thieves. God laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all. God punished his Son in the place of the guilty.
God gave a Son for me, a wonder. The guilty sinner I do and then condemn to die. Thou didst not approve of that. You love yourself.
I love that. Piece of poetry.
Could we within the ocean or where the sky would catch the blue?
To write the love of God above would drain
an ocean dry. Could the road be in the home? Those steps, those steps of sky. Sometimes you will hear the message. Some are lost to hear it. You will hear a message tonight. It's all lost. It's all your sin.
That Christ died yonder at dark Golgotha, God gave him to the cross.
I'm all knees when I think of the death of Christ. Go to me, isn't it? The loss of life. I took it in 38 years ago. Seems like yesterday.
No wonder we sing at times when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die and scarcely to end. But on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled, he died
to take away my sin. Then sins my soul, I seek the Father in thee. Then tonight, what do you think of God?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what an offer, friend, what an offer, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
There were 3 years set at the sight of the gospel hall when the meeting was going on and 2 men. They preached their hearts out for 5 years. At the end of that meeting, 3 years of action.
Last week. When I was at hall that night, a brother said to this blonde girl, 16, said to her,
as the tears were coming down her face, she was ready to say, he said, what are you going to tell me? She said, I've been saved tonight. And then he said to her, what really happened there? Was there something you said to your prison?
No.
Shall I sat in that side seat and I stirred up on a text all night for the last just about 5 minutes before reading for it dawned upon me. God loved me. He gave a Son to tell me that whosoever believeth in him, I just believe what God said.
Thank God for this text, friend. I hope you'll take it home with you. I hope before you go to bed, you are not saved. Will you do me a
favor?
May God help you to take it in. Have everlasting life. Friend, listen.
God blesses his people. So the house of three legs of the prophet. And only at that roof will be a bed, a leaky roof, a part of a place of God's salvation.
Your light to Christ and God
And thank God, friend, it's your friend.
I wouldn't change this for one second. I couldn't do it anyway. To know Christ is so very close to this. The law. The song part of this meeting is right now. The song. The law commands us. God loves us. And it's said. You know the song part? Set my time into eternal in my Christ. What shall a proper man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I knew no greater tragedy.
I've been in hospital wards, I've been in dying beds, and my friend, there's
nothing more tragic, nothing more horrific, nothing more, my friend, alarming to the spirit and the soul to see a person leave. You are the Christ, the hope. Only I can feel it. That's the hope.
A hospital ward with a dear Christian died. And that dear Christian was telling her friends around, don't cry for me, don't cry for me, don't cry for me. I'm going to be with Christ. I'm waiting to be called home. And she was rejoicing as she was passing out. On that same hospital ward, our corridor,
one of the rooms, and they heard the screams, the cries and groans of a woman. The people had a wall outside, and that was literally cast in. Heaven! Oh God, where are you? Where are you, God? Where are you? So shall be that. There's only 2 minutes for him. Happy in Christ to know who died for you. I haven't got the ability over that God would have liked me for. You just will take the lid off and run it. And have to see things tear as God would speak it off. Turn through a sinner, turn, I think. Heaven is like all I've been thought of. And it's like me shaming it. Don't miss Christ. He's your only answer. The time, the time.
You could have all you want in this world. And the late king said these words,
all I have was royalty and my earnings, and to die a miserable man. He said to those around him, King said, why have you just passed from me?
Let me hide myself in thee. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. While I to the fountain fly, cleanse me, Savior, or I die. God grant tonight, don't leave the meeting without having resolved what you're going to do with Christ tonight. For the eternal destiny would well depend upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for thy words, the twofold message, reminding us of Calvary, the uplifted Christ, of what was accomplished, the glory that was brought to thy name, sinners brought to the Savior, and heaven will be filled with those who turned from their sin and turned to the Lord Jesus and trusted him. We thank thee for the word of God that reveals the holy law of God, that condemns us, exposes us, and magnifies our sin to its exceeding sinfulness. We do thank thee for the same word that tells us of that love so great, so vast, that love that gave everything. God so loved that he gave. And we thank thee for everyone that has everlasting life tonight. We pray to remember those not saved, that they might soon be the recipients of that life, coming into the enjoyment of sins forgiven. Lord, grant that no one would die without the Savior. O God,
sad to live without him. Oh, the tragedy of losing his soul eternally. Lord, help us in nights to come, that the Lord be thy come, and part us with thy blessing in the Savior's name. Amen.
Just one verse of a hymn and the meeting is concluded. One verse of a hymn. Number 239. Number 239. And verse number 3, on Calvary see him who died in our stead, exhausting God's judgment when for us he bled. God's wrath he endured on Calvary's tree. In weakness and dying, the victor was he. Number 239, verse 3.